One of the kind of quirks of the history of the Christian church is when we think about sin, and we think about what the worst possible sins are, you know, perhaps most people would answer, well, murder, killing somebody else is clearly the worst kind of sin. But when I sit on the other side of the confessional box, most people haven't committed murder, and so most people aren't guilty of that particular sin. But the next category of sin is something that most people struggle with, or at least say that that's one of their great sins, and it's the area of lust or around sexuality. And yet, when you read through the teaching of Jesus, the number one thing that he seems to be concerned about is money and riches and care for the poor. He doesn't seem really all that much interested in what happens in our bedrooms. It's in what happens in our daily life, in ordinary discourse. And indeed, out of the 40 parables that Jesus tells, there are only two where he gives this really quite harsh judgment and says, your life will be claimed tonight. The parable that we just heard about this rich man, and then the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Something that you can pretty clearly see, there are these two things in common. It's about riches, not about sexuality, that Jesus seems most interested and most concerned. And for us, I think it comes down to that key idea. Where do we trust? Where do we place our focus? How do we actually encounter the living God? Because we live in a world that wants us to think that the world is very scarce, that our resources are very scarce. And we know that as a result of the terrible weather that we've had, both here with floods and in both in Europe and in North America with severe periods of drought, that indeed many crops have failed and there isn't the food resources that we have. The war in the Ukraine has made that situation even more dire. And the United Nations now suggests that 100 million more people have now moved into a situation of dire and abject poverty. So it's a terrible situation. And so what Jesus says today about this particular man building bigger barns and wanting to store this for himself, Jesus knew that at that time, and the people who were listening knew at that time, this crowd of people that are pushing around him, jostling him, they're hungry. They need food. And so this foolish man who's, rather than seeing the need of those around him, says, look, I'm just going to build a bigger barn because, you know, men, we like everything to be bigger and better. And yet Jesus is saying, no, you fool. That is the judgment that you're going to face. This judgment that is going to come down harshly on you because you haven't seen the needs of the others. This man is all caught up just in himself. There's no sense of community. I mean, again, the people at the time would have been like, what the heck? This man should be consoling the others. There should be this sense of being within community. The villagers would sit around the fire and they'd share their needs and they'd be able to know one another. But this man has nobody in his life. All he speaks is to himself. My soul, what are we going to do about this? And it's this sad and pathetic figure that is painted by Jesus. Because all of this is about the vanity that we hear in our first reading today. The word in Hebrew is the word hevel, and it simply means vapor or gas. You know, it's a sense of, you know, it was a cold morning today, and so perhaps on your way to church, you know, you were breathing out, maybe you saw your breath there in front of your face, and it's that sense that, you know, it's not something you can grab hold of, it's something that just kind of wasps off into the morning mist. And our lives can be like that, just mere hevel, mere vapor that we can't grab hold of. It's not something so significant and so substantial. Indeed, the very first person, the first of the sons of Adam and Eve is, of course, Cain and Abel. And that word Abel simply comes from the same word, hevel. It's just another version of that, the same name. And Abel is like vapor. He's there. And then four verses later, he's killed by his brother. And so he's only there to be killed. That seems to be the whole existence of Hevel. And for us, that seems to be sometimes about our life. We can get so caught up in money, so caught up in our possessions, so caught up in all of those things that build anxiety. We hear the message of the world that tells us that we should be anxious, we should take out a new insurance policy, we should hedge our bets against this situation or that circumstance. And yet Jesus is inviting us here to simply trust, to acknowledge that, yeah, we need these things. He's not saying you don't need food. Of course he knows that we need the food, we need those possessions. But if that's our focus, if that's the thing that drives us, then we're never going to find contentment, because all of our life is going to be about hevel, about vanity, about things that make no sense ultimately. Today, we invite you to participate in the work of St. Vincent de Paul by offering your money to that great work of actually building community, providing for the people in our local area that have that need. And so we have that sense of solidarity. We need to be connected with those around us. For us, we can make that focus. You know, what I have and is building bigger barns, getting more possessions, but all of that is just going to be so much emptiness, so much that will lead us simply to a hollow way of life. Or we can trust in God. Or we can be caught up in the wonder of the God who's got our back, who's going to be there, who's going to walk with us, who's going to journey with us and make sure that in whatever situation, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, God will be with us and God will offer the assistance and the guidance that we need. Today, we're invited to trust. Today, we're invited to build our lives and our foundations on things that are so much more substantial than the mere hevel, the mere breath of things around us. Possessions, they come and go. But for us, we need to put our trust in something that is permanent, something that will always be there, and that's building our relationship with the God who's called us and loved us and wants us to experience that life that can only come by offering our hearts to Him, by dedicating ourselves more fully to the wonder of God.